Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm glad you've joined us. We've been talking about employment dynamics nationally, and now we want to turn and talk a little more locally. After years of struggling financially and going into bankruptcy, Detroit has been recovering after the Great Recession. But that doesn't mean we necessarily know what jobs Detroiters and in the metro area, what should we be investing in? Which ones pay the most money, where the best opportunities are, and really important, how to create more innovative, creative, high-paying jobs for more people in the region. We talk a lot on this show about opportunity. This is a key pivot point in that discussion. How do we make sure that people who need access to opportunity, need higher paying jobs, have them in our community? The local think tank, Detroit Future City, recently published a report about which occupations are the most growth-oriented, where, that is, the best job opportunities are for Detroiters and Metro Detroiters. To talk about this report here now is Anika Goss. She is the CEO of Detroit Future City, and she has been thinking a lot about employment and job growth in our region. Anika Goss, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen, for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about this report. And I guess my first question is the number here, 107 growth occupations, according to your report. First, what is a growth occupation? And give us some examples of what jobs they include, and then talk about why there are 107 of them.
Right. So we define a growth occupation as jobs that grew faster than the regional average and had wage growth that was positive from 2014 to 2019. And these are also jobs that are making more than or of at least $25 an hour in 2019, and there that sort of fit into being able to employ at least 300 jobs or provide 300 jobs across the region. So there are about 107 occupations that we've identified that fit into those categories in the region, which is actually, you know, is pretty competitive. And I think it's in line from, you know, the other sort of standard economic studies that have been done across the region and the state, such as the Chambers Regions, State of the Region Report, and the Business Leaders for Michigan report on the region.
Mm-hmm. So talk about what kinds of jobs these are. Who are the people who occupy these,
right,
these growth jobs?
So these are jobs that are the top. Well, we in the report really talk about the top 10 jobs. And so these are jobs that do require some additional skills. The number one job in the region are registered nurses, but there are also general operations managers and accountants and software developers. But then there's also elementary school teachers and electricians, which I think people are surprised by. Loan officers also made the top 10. And those jobs, the top 10, actually the bottom wage for the top 10 was actually sales representatives of services for $29.46. And the top one, the top job was actually the general operations managers. And I think that really the way to think about this, and you have to kind of dig into the report, which we really hope people do. We tried to write, this is, you know, economic development and jobs is really complicated, you know, Wall Street Journal kind of stuff. So people kind of glaze over. And we really tried to organize this information to be really accessible. And so one of the things that we emphasize in the report, Stephen, is that There are jobs, and our partners at Opportunity at Work really talks about these origin jobs. And these are jobs that people might have right now that are low wage jobs that could then transition into what we think of as a growth occupation. So if you're a clerk, for example, or a cashier or a teller, and you're making maybe $17 or $18 an hour, maybe even $16 an hour, those are jobs that need to be reanalyzed in terms of skills, where people can actually quickly move into these growth occupations in higher performing management level, where they can easily begin to be making much higher rates. But what we're finding is that that's not really happening, especially for Black and Latino workers.
I want to talk just a little about the kinds of things that people need to do to be prepared for these jobs. One of the issues that, of course, we have here in Metro Detroit and especially in the city is education and training. And of course, the jobs that we're talking about here are jobs that you do need some preparation for. Are you finding that in these 107 jobs, for instance, that there are enough people who have that training and education to get them in our region? Or is that a gap that we still need to focus on?
Well, I think, you know, there's actually two answers to that, Stephen. We actually found in our analysis that about 60% of the workers in growth occupations do not have a four-year degree. So that's something to think about, right? Mm-hmm. That not all of these jobs even require a four-year degree the way we think about them. But if you, the more education, what we also found is that the more education you do have, the more likely you are to move into one of these positions, as you said, because they do require some upskilling, right? And so I think what, and this sort of gets into the recommendations, this truly organized effort of linking education and skills to the jobs that are actually available for growth has to be a part of the strategy here. Because what we're seeing is that too many of our population is falling really, really behind because they don't have the education attainment that would qualify or position them for these jobs.
We're talking with Anika Goss. She is the CEO of Detroit Future City, a local think tank. DFC recently published a report on the best job opportunities in Detroit and in Metro Detroit. That's what we're talking about today on the show. The opportunities that exist right now in the national economy, but also locally here in Detroit and in its suburbs. We would love to hear from you during the conversation as well. What do you think are the hottest industries in Detroit and in the metro area? What do you think we need to do to employ more people in Detroit and our metro area? Also give us a call and let us know what your experience has been like trying to get a job in Detroit or in the suburbs. What are the jobs that have paid you the most? Where do you think people should be investing their skills to land good paying jobs, and in particular jobs that move people up the economic ladder? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation. Anika, we talk all the time here on the show about you know, the inequality that exists in our region and the way in which, you know, economic indicators either reflect that or in some cases fuel that. I want to talk here about I guess, the differences between city and suburb when we talk about these kinds of opportunities, but also between Black and brown people and others. What are we learning from this report about that inequality gap?
Yeah, it was that part of it. The data was pretty disheartening, actually, Stephen. But we want to talk about it anyway. Mm-hmm. The gaps are pretty great. Black people in particular are almost one and a half times less likely to be hired with the same education as their white counterparts. Across the board. And if you compare, if you're able to compare between high school and college, then it's even, the gap is even further. It ends up being 2.5 times.
Wow.
At between Black workers and white workers in terms of being employed for the same job. And then when you look at across the region, we're also seeing that even across the region, and while we assume that households or Black workers and brown workers in the suburbs are more likely to be hired for those jobs because they're closer to the jobs, or because generally we think things are better in the suburbs, they're also not being hired for these same jobs. And the path, and it's almost by half for Black workers in Metro Detroit to white and Asian workers in the suburbs. So this is a real problem. And it's a problem that I don't think we can ignore any longer, that workplace and economic development growth has racial barriers right. that we need to overcome in order for us all to succeed. And I feel like that has to be the leading mantra, that that's not just an issue that happened in 2020. This is something that is pervasive in the workforce hiring place.
And, you know, just listening to you talk, I mean, the very stark differences at the same level of education, for instance,
right.
really just point to this being about discrimination, about racism. And we kind of just have to name that and call it out, that even despite all the kind of progress we see with in other, you know, environments and in other spaces, we still have this problem that is just about race and about discrimination.
Exactly. And so if we're wanting, I mean, it was really interesting because when we look at other regions, even in the South, right, they are advancing much higher than we are terms of closing those kinds of racial gaps.
Wow.
So I think we have a lot of work to do. And, you know, the first step to change is admitting it. And then we can all move forward together to make those changes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue talking with Anika Goss of Detroit Future City about opportunities and jobs here in Detroit and in Metro Detroit. We'll also get going with you on the phones and back to social. Munir in Detroit, Gene in Wyandotte, we will get to you first. If you want to join them, 313-577-1019 is the number. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag us, and we can include you that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. The This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm glad you've joined us. I'm talking to Anika Goss. She's the CEO of Detroit Future City, and they have published a recent report on the best job opportunities in Detroit and Metro Detroit. They've identified 107 growth occupations, the kinds of jobs that move people from their current economic status to a better one. We're also talking about the context for these kinds of conversations, the things that still really hold us back in the region and hold Black and Brown Metro Detroiters back in really unfair ways still because of lingering discrimination and racism. As always, we want to hear from you on the phones and on social as well. Give us a call. Let us know what your experience is in the job marketplace here. Have you found a really good job recently because unemployment is so low right now? Or are you someone who's still struggling to find the job that you need to move forward? Also, let us know how you're dealing with inflation, which is better, but still pretty high and straining people to make ends meet, to buy things like basics, like groceries and gas and all of those kinds of things. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag us. Let's start today with Munir in Detroit. Munir, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Stephen.
Hey.
Just wanted to kind of talk about my experience. So at the beginning of the pandemic, the lockdown, I used to work in hospitality management. And when the hotel that I worked at downtown closed, I took advantage and began training up at U of M remotely for cybersecurity.
Hmm.
And within about 11 months, I got a certificate, and within about about 5 months after that, I was working in a new field, and I was able to do remote work, and I was able to increase my take home by very close to 50%. There are job opportunities. And the company I work for, they do have a local office, but I'm seeing more and more companies, they are hiring for remote work. So you can live here in Metro Detroit, but you can be working for a tech firm or someone in the financial industry or any different company who needs IT, tech support, cloud engineering, database engineering, cybersecurity, whatever the case may be. And you can really begin to make upwards of, close to starting off at close to $100,000, mm-hmm. or if not within in a couple of years, making that type of money. One thing that I wish I was able to take advantage of is just I started my training earlier, but now, state of Michigan, Governor Whitmer, AKA Big Gretch, as they call it, they made a lot of this training free through some of the community colleges in the area. I know wow. Washtenaw County has some free training.
Sure.
I believe WC3 District does, and maybe Henry Ford as well. But Grand Valley, I think Grand Valley Community, it's a list of them.
Yeah.
So there are opportunities
Munir,
that we can take advantage of.
I'm curious how you came up with this plan. As you said, your hotel closed during the pandemic. What made you decide that this was the thing to do? And then how did you kind of find out even where to go and what to do? I'm not sure I would know that.
So honestly, I was because hospitality management is not like the best paying job. Like it's one of those jobs that you do because you love it.
Mm-hmm.
There were some pressures on the job and financial pressures outside the job that really just left me looking. But with the amount of hours I was working, I didn't have time to transition. And if I was to get another job, I would be taking a pay cut. So literally, honestly, for close to 3 years, I was just hoping and praying something would happen. So in March, that second week of March, when everything began to close, I was always looking online anyway. So, you know, with Google, you know, they have the cookies. So if you're looking, they're always sending you advertisements for training and things like that. And U of M has started their Hacker U cybersecurity training program. And I was actually a part of their first class.
Wow.
So, you know, once we were sent home and I just happened to fill out a form online about a week prior just to get information. The lady actually called me literally 2 or 3 days after we got sent home. And I was just like, hey, let's move forward with this. I'll never get this opportunity to have the time to train any other time.
How great is that, Munir?
I mean,
wonderful
go blue.
Story. I know, right? Anika, that's exactly the kind of thing you're hoping more people will get an opportunity to do. I mean, it's like he comes out of your report.
Absolutely. That is an amazing story. Congratulations to the caller, because that is, that's exactly what we're talking about, right? Like, he's like living the report.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these jobs, hospitality and other kinds of industries end up becoming low wage. And in an urban area, you just can't afford to continue to only be in one sector that's paying at such a low wage. And these other opportunities like cybersecurity are growing industries and that are paying at much higher rates and what we're seeing in other places. And the other point that I think is really, really important about this is the connection that the caller said it was, he named a university and he named all three or four community college systems that were a part of this movement into this new upskill training for this whole new career. It's that kind of coordination that I feel like we're just in the beginning of that's going to be required in a really robust way for us to see more of this.
Yeah. Again, Munir, that's such a wonderful story. I'm really glad things have worked out for you the way they have, and thanks for calling. Let's go next to Susan in Berkeley. Susan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mr. Henderson. Hey. I really appreciate your show. Your guest, Ms. Gross, is right on target. I'm a retired RN. I used to be a manager with a home care agency. I also, prior to that, taught in Detroit with the Job Training Partnership Act. It was federally funded for LPNs. This was a two-year program that we had classes of 80 each year. And the LPNs, you know, that graduated would come back so proud and so happy with their kids dressed to the nines. They were able to work one job instead of two. They were the backbone of our nursing homes, which are now in desperate need. The other program I taught with, both in a private home care agency, but also through Crockett, which was a vocational school, was a certified nurse aide program that is run by the state. They train the trainers, one like myself, and it's a three-week program, or it used to be, and it included clinical experience. Like, we had a group at it was a nursing home near Henry Ford on, I can't remember the street. But what's happening now with training for nurse assistants is they're called patient assistants, and the nursing homes will train them very briefly with online classes. Mm. I really hesitate to direct people that way. Check the community colleges. Check for a Michigan State Certified Nurse Assistant Program. Mm-hmm. It's so worthwhile. It will be the first ladder step toward something like an LPN program or an RN program, starting with the community colleges.
Which is the way that you make money and move up. In nursing, you're absolutely right, Susan. Anika, here again, the role of community colleges and
absolutely
and our education infrastructure and all of this is coming out, but also this dire need for nurses. Nursing was one of the jobs that your report identified.
It's the number one job.
Right.
It's the number one growth sector job in Detroit.
And we have this incredible shortage. I mean, just last week or so, we were talking on the show about there are not enough nurses. So that's a place people can really look and take
Absolutely.
Advantage of this. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Stephen, can I just really quickly say,
sure.
I think what's also really important about the caller, Susan, that what she mentioned about the home healthcare aid industry, it's one of the lowest paid industries. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the highest employed of Black and Latino workers.
Wow.
So finding a way, I think that's a really, really good example of how to, if you're a home healthcare aide or a patient aide, and you moving from that sector into the traditional medical sector of becoming an LPN, becoming an RN in those traditional pathways is critically important. I feel like that's a perfect example of that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Anika Goss, it's always really great to have you here to talk about all of these really interesting things that DFC is looking into here in our region. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Stephen, thank you so much for having me and highlighting the report.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. Tune in tomorrow when we will have more great programming here on Detroit Today. Detroit Today is produced by Sam Corey and Nick Austin. The technical director and engineer is Matthew Trevethan, and our student producer is Taylor Davis. Detroit Today's music was created by Sam Bobian and Will Sessions. Also, remember, if you like this show, if you get a lot out of listening to this program, share it with your friends and your relatives and your neighbors, the people that you know and who might also really enjoy listening to us. You can find us at WDET.org or on our Detroit Today podcast, which you can download wherever you download podcasts. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.